bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
We're joined again by the President of the Victorian Liberal Party, Michael Kroger. It's Macca and Heidi Murphy. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you both?
Pretty good.
Well, thank you.
Now,
good.
I'll give you the, for the first minute, I'll let you have a bit of a rant about the CFA and the firefighters, because I know we'll get to that, but I've got a question. How the hell has this gone so wrong and so toxic with, you know, a premier who I'd rate as a pretty good political operator, a government that's seemingly doing very well? How does this happen, Michael? How, you know, what's going on?
Well, I think what's happening is this. Andrews, who's normally, he's a very clever politician. He's sure-footed. He usually makes the right political moves. He exploits the media work very well. He exploits issues very well. But, Macca, the one thing that always gets him into trouble is his relationship with the unions, and particularly the hard left unions. He's never wanted to disassociate himself from the CFMEU, and he won't disassociate himself from the UFU. So this is the only the massive political blind spot he has. So when you come up against a hard left union like the UFU, he caves in. When it comes to sort of helping the CFMEU with things like the move, repealing the move on laws for rowdy demonstrations, he caves into them. It's just a massive blind spot he's got, and we'll probably bring him down, because to lose a minister like Garrett so quickly this week is a very bad sign. That's the answer, I think. You know, he's normally pretty sneaky and clever, but on this issue, if there's an issue in relation to a hard left union, you know he'll cave to the hard left union. That's the answer.
Do you really think it does him that much damage that it could cost him his job?
Look, the answer is it could. And the reason is that Andrews himself is not all that popular in the state parliamentary party. The faction he's in is one of the two left-wing factions. And he personally doesn't have majority support. He's there through a sort of a peace deal, and the fact that there's not really anyone else than because he won the election. But he's personally not popular. There are lots of stories go around about why he didn't replace Jane Garrett yesterday. You'll notice when she resigned, they didn't actually replace her with a new minister. They gave James Molino that position. Mm. Why didn't they have a new minister? And a lot of people are saying it's because the last time there was a ballot, Andrew's candidate in the caucus lost. So it may well be that he didn't want to put up someone who'd lost the ballot in caucus. So they just appointed an existing minister, not a new minister at all. I mean, why isn't there a new minister?
Yeah.
So, look, it's causing huge ructions within the ALP. It's obviously affecting Labor in the federal election in Victoria, because people are pretty appalled. I mean, someone just rang me before to say, you know, surely what would the bill be for 60,000 firefighters who are working, you know, risking their lives for nothing? I mean, how much would we have to pay those CFA volunteers if they were, you know, on call out rates, et cetera, and it'd be hundreds of millions. Mm. So he is damaging Labor in Corangamite, McEwen, Latrobe, Dunklin, and then all of the rural seats, you know, Murray, Indi, Mallee, et cetera, Wannon. Through this, people are shocked and bewildered, and it's bizarre behaviour, as I said, from Andrews, who's a pretty clever politician.
I've got a bit of a curly one here for you, Michael. Are you enrolled in Higgins?
Yes.
So when you do your vote, who are you going to preference after Kelly?
After Kelly, well, I will probably.
I'm assuming you are going to vote for Kelly.
Of course. No, of course I am. Definitely. And very much looking forward to it. And they're about to put a big billboard on my house, I hope. So, yes, no, definitely support Kelly. I'd have to look down the list of who the other candidates are. But presumably there'll be Greens, Labor. I was looking at all 37 of them yesterday, so pardon me for not remembering exactly. Darren Hinch has a candidate in the field, and Higgins, Family First. I think Animal Justice. So I think there were seven, were there six, seven, eight candidates in Higgins. So we're just still working out those preferences. But you know, probably put the Labor Party last in Higgins.
So you'll have the Greens before Labor, you reckon, or second last?
no, probably. It's a hard decision. You know, it's a pretty hard decision. In some seats, you might want to put the Greens last. In some, you might want to put Labor last. It just depends on the candidate in the situation. And then we look at Labor, who have been, of course, bleating Macca about, you know, the Liberals talking preferences with other parties. And our old friend Michael Danby in Melbourne Ports is going to put the Greens ahead of the Liberal candidate, which is just appalling. And he did that in... Danby's obviously a Jewish member of parliament, and the Jewish community are very sensitive about the Greens because of the Greens' stance on Israel, or many of the Green members' stance on Israel. And it was revealed this week, people were reminded that in 2004, Michael Danby put the Greens ahead of the Liberal Party, and the Liberal Party candidate was the now state member for Caulfield, David Southwick. So he put a Green candidate before they voted for David Southwick, which has sort of been, Danby's been reminded of this week as he talks about the Greens. So it'll be interesting to see what Danby does in Melbourne Ports, because if he puts the Greens before the Liberal Party, well, that will say a lot about him.
Perhaps you could second preference the Nick Xenophon team in Higgins.
Well, he'll get a higher preference, I would be sure about that. So will Hinch, simply because, you know, well, you start with the basis that the Greens and Labor are at the end. Unless Rise Up Australia, I can't quite remember whether they're in Higgins or not, but if they were, they'd probably go last. Xenophon, Hinch, Family First, et cetera, those parties will tend to be higher than Greens and Labor, yes.
Now, Michael, I live in the inner city seat of Melbourne, which is now Greens but has always been quite strongly Labor. There's quite a few signs up in the area for the Greens member Adam Band. There's one in particular I've seen this happen on a couple of signs around my neighbourhood. It's a Green sign. It says, "I'm standing up for what matters." And someone's gone along with a texter and marked over it saying, "Vote Greens." Then they've underlined the "and" in standing and put Libs next to it. Is that, you support that? Vote Greens and Libs?
Well, this is where Labor are getting a bit antsy about the fact that the Liberal Party now talks to all of the other parties, including Labor and the Greens. We try and talk to everybody about preferences, because most seats are won on preferences, and in this game you're in it to win seats. And if you just take the view that you will never consult other parties, then, you're in the wrong business. You've got to show other parties respect, even if you disagree with their views. So we've been talking to all of the other parties, perhaps some of them for the first time in a long time, about preferences. But in the seat of Melbourne, you would expect Adam Bandt to be re-elected. The Labor candidate there, Sophie Ishmael, is probably more extreme than Adam Bandt. So I'm not sure which is going to be last in that seat. But Labor, you know, just expect... They expect the Liberal Party to give them preferences. They just say to us, "Oh, you must preference us because the Greens are, you know, extreme." And we say to them, "Well, but do you preference the Liberal Party or do you preference the Greens?" And the problem is that the Labor Party preferences the Greens in every single seat, 150 of them. So, they just say to the Liberal Party, "Oh, you've got to support us." But in every one of the 150 seats in this country, the Labor Party support the Greens over the Liberal Party. Now, what does that mean? It means that the Labor Party consider themselves politically closer to the Greens than the Liberal Party. And that says a lot about the modern Labor Party, because, you see, I take the view that this is not the party of Hawke Keating. I don't consider Shorten and these people anything like the Hawke Keating mould, which was, you know, as Latham correctly points out, the Hawke Keating mould was all about economic growth, jobs, development, lowering taxes, you know, encouraging people in the lower middle class, the traditional blue-collar worker, to have rising wages, rising living standards, you know, deregulating the economy, improving competition. They were the hallmarks of what Keating and Hawke were on about. Now, you know, Shorten is a world away from that. He's just about spending, taxing, and you know, the grotesque economic irresponsibility of the massive debt and deficit, which is going to be left to our children. you know, that'll be the legacy of Shorten. So we regard the two as very, you know, the two animals, Labor under Hawke Keating and Labor under Shorten, as very, very different political beings.
Do you see the Herald Sun this morning? They've, call it on the social pages, they've got a little picture of, or a little article about Higgins and the Greens and Kelly. It is, everyone likes to think it's a competition there. Is it? Is it going to be a competition in that seat? I mean, every seat is, but is Kelly up against it?
I don't think so. I'm pretty confident she's going to win. She's look, she does a power of work in the electorate for a local member. I do see ministers from time to time who sort of disappear from the electorates, but O'Dwyer, Kelly O'Dwyer is an incredibly hard working member. As you know, the Greens have a sniff of victory in and around this area because of their victory in Paran at the last state election, where they won by a whisker over the great Clem Newton Brown. But I don't think so. I mean, Higgins has got a massive margin of 9.9% off the top of my head, so I don't expect that to be a close contest. There are you know, many more marginal seats than that. But it's excited people because in one end of the electorate, you know, towards St Kilda Road, the Greens won the seat of Paran. But yep. I'd expect Kelly O'Dwyer to win, and she deserves to.
Cool. Once again, Michael, thanks for your time. We look forward
Great
on...
Great pleasure.
And we look forward on election night to hopefully having a quick chat with you on our election show. And just when you do your postal vote in Higgins, if you're doing one, just be careful with numbering those squares, mate.
I'll try. Okay, I look forward to talking to you on July 2. I'll be on Sky, so we'll certainly have a chat.
We've got more listeners. We've got more listeners than them.
Good on you. I look forward to it.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.